This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for March 4th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the JNS today. The article topics in this podcast are infection and peripheral nerve. Clinical significance of positive cranial bone flap cultures and associated risk of surgical site infection after craniotomies or craniectomies. A clinical article by Xu Yin Chiang and colleagues. The risk of surgical site infection in patients in whom contaminated bone flaps are reimplanted after craniotomy or craniectomy has not been determined. In the present study, the authors investigated the prevalence of contaminated bone flaps, the risk of surgical site infection after reimplanting contaminated bone flaps, and other risk factors for surgical site infection after craniotomy or craniectomy. To this end, they conducted a prospective cohort study of 373 patients who underwent craniotomy or craniectomy. Each patient's bone flap was cultured during the procedures. Surgical site infections were identified through the hospital's routine surveillance. 50% of bone flaps were contaminated with small numbers of bacteria, primarily skin flora, such as Propionibacterium acnes, coagulase negative staphylococci, and Staphylococcus aureus. No bone flaps were contaminated with high numbers of bacteria. Reimplanting bone flaps with low levels of bacterial contamination did not increase patients' risk of surgical site infection. The risk of this infection was significantly decreased, however, by allowing the skin antiseptic to dry before making the incision, and was significantly increased in patients in whom Gliadel wafers were implanted to treat the tumor. The authors conclude that operative factors may be more important than skin flora contamination of bone flaps in the pathogenesis of surgical site infections after craniotomy or craniectomy. Contralateral spinal accessory nerve for ipsilateral neurotization of branches of the brachial plexus. A cadaveric feasibility study. A laboratory investigation by R. Shane Tubbs and co-authors. Additional nerve transfer options are important to the peripheral nerve surgeon to maximize patient outcomes following nerve injuries. Because recovery of even minimal function can be of significant importance to patients with paralyzed limbs, and because often the injuries that traumatize the nerves also damage ipsilateral donor nerves, in the current study, the author's aim was to identify a novel method of upper limb neurotization in which the contralateral spinal accessory nerve could be used. In 10 cadavers, the spinal accessory nerve was harvested using a posterior approach and tunneled subcutaneously to the contralateral side for neurotization to various branches of the brachial plexus. Measurements were made of the spinal accessory nerve available for transfer and of its diameter. The length of nerve available for transposition was approximately 20 centimeters from transition of upper and middle fibers of the trapezius muscle to approximately 2 to 4 centimeters superior to the insertion of the trapezius onto the spinous process of T12. Adequate nerve length for contralateral transposition was found for all specimens. To the author's knowledge, use of the contralateral spinal accessory nerve has not yet been explored for ipsilateral neurotization procedures. Based on the study findings, the contralateral spinal accessory nerve may be considered for ipsilateral neurotization to the suprascapular and axillary nerves. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.